Amen, amen. Good morning. How we doing?
All right, hey, got a little quiet. Okay, all right. Well, good morning to you. Happy to be here with you this morning. Welcome. If you're joining us here in person, if you're joining us live on Zoom, we welcome you. Thank you so much for joining us. You are our honored guest if you're doing that for the first time. If you have a moment and you are visiting with us, there's a card in the pew in front of you. If you have a moment, if you could fill that out, we get a record of your attendance. We'd love to get to know you some. I'd like to start with just a few announcements before we get into our scripture reading this morning. Just take a look at some of these that are posted behind me. A lot of these announcements you'll find in your bulletin. Some of the welcome team, Miss Cynthia and friends should have got you one. I know she is on it. So if you didn't get a bulletin, you can see her. Most of these are posted in our bulletin. I just want to highlight a few. The first of which is we're passing out these very large cards. We've been doing this for the last few weeks. These look familiar to you guys? Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, so what we're trying to do is get updated information for everybody. We're trying to put a new directory together. So our goal is to have these all in within the next week or so. So walking into the new year, we've got this new directory available to us. So please fill this in. If you haven't got one, see Miss Cynthia. She'll get you one. I'm sure there's some in the foyer as well if you need to grab one and get it turned in. We've got the wooden box there. It's our collection box. You can slip it right in there. And if you don't, we'll just make up whatever we want. So that could be fun too. So notice on the things posted behind me, we've got our evening devotional tonight, ladies' Bible class, 10 a.m. at Kim's house. This coming Saturday is our men's prayer breakfast at the Chick-fil-A right down the street here on 26. That's at 7 a.m. Sean is still collecting. Wait, nope, not this one. That this isn't what? What did you say again? No, man, we're not doing it. Okay, yep. I should have the. Okay, just kidding. Not doing it, guys. Look, we'll see. We'll see. I was seeing where you guys were at with that. Look, okay. Look, we'll devote ourselves in prayer at breakfast time. Next month. How about that? The ladies still doing their thing at 10 a.m. Okay, good. All right. All right. Back on track. Soup kitchen sign-up sheets over there for the month of January. That's always the first Saturday. We're not doing a meal at the rescue mission this month. They've got other things that are planned for the Christmas day, because that's the day that it falls on the fourth Monday. So we don't have it this month. We'll be back next year. That sounds weird to say. All right. We do have, however, a sign-up sheet over there for Christmas at the Mission. That's Monday the 18th. That's a week from tomorrow. It's an event that we get to volunteer sign up. It's a big thing that they have going on. They do lots of toy giveaways. There's going to be gospel presentations, and it'd be great. We've got a lot of people signed up. Continue to sign up for that, and we'll get you going there. I just want to make sort of what's a soft announcement. I was asked Saturday, January 20th at 8 a.m. See Melody Bloxham for more information, but she's organizing a craft day, Craftapalooza. Just made that up. It might be what she calls it. I don't know. A craftathon, maybe. All right. Anyway, if you're interested in that, they're going to be doing that January 20th. Last piece of announcements, the rescue mission. We're looking to get some more guys or women, anybody that'd be interested in driving the van. Don faithfully does it every single Sunday. If you're interested in doing it and have a driving record that would enable you to be allowed to do it, please see Don, give him your name and phone number, and we'll get you hooked up. You got to throw that piece in there, last thing, one more here. Joy to the World Christmas Eve service. We're going to be, of course, having our regular morning worship service on Sunday, which is Christmas Eve. But in the evening at 6 p.m., come back. If you're in town, come back, bring your family, bring your friends. You're going to have a Christmas Eve service of praise and worship. Amen. All right. We're going to get on to it. Flip your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to continue in our series titled Words to Live By. What we've been discussing here is, the book of Proverbs is wisdom literature. It's a different type of literature than what we've previously studied. We just came out of a series called Starting Over in Ezra and Nehemiah, which is historical narrative. It's a story of history, how God was working through his people. Here in Proverbs, what we're looking at is what's called wisdom literature. So we ought to read it differently, apply it differently, and understand the purpose of it for our lives. And ultimately, I believe that the main purpose of Proverbs in our lives is to equip us. It's to equip us to live on this side of heaven, within this world, within God's will. It's instruction for skillful, godly living. And today we're going to take a look at what it means and what are the blessings as we live wisely in God's will. So we're going to read just a few verses. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to you now. Lord, we are overwhelmed by the goodness of you, Lord. Father, thank you for your love in our lives, your ever-present mercy, your ever-present grace, your ever-present faithfulness. Lord, as we become students of your word this day, speak to us, Father. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our lives and our circumstances, Lord. Help us not to just be hearers of this word, but doers of it, Father, and therefore transforming our lives to bring you glory and us joy. Father, we love you. We desperately need you. Allow your name to be lifted on high as we continue in worship of you. It's in Jesus' name we all said, amen.
So before we take the Lord's Supper, I just want to remind everyone that if you have not had a chance to grab the communion elements, they are in the back in the baskets. So if you need some, go ahead and grab one for yourself. We'll make sure everyone can participate in this meal. Now, back in my home church in at Pepperdine, we have a tradition where we do the Advent candles leading up to Christmas. And today would be the second week of Advent, and that candle represents peace, and kind of fitting for what we've been talking about and singing about today. And it also kind of fits with what the young adult group spoke about this past month. During that time, we focused on what are some of the struggles that we deal with. Because in this time, in what Jesus represents in the birth story of him, is not that he came into a perfect world, but he came into a broken world, a world filled with us, and a world filled with troubles, and most of them caused by us. And so we talked about the different struggles that we face during this time. And even in loving families, there's that expectation that we have, especially during this time where it's like you are being compared to one another, being like, oh, your cousin, look at how well they're doing. Look at the amazing life they have, and look at the family they're growing. Where are you with that? And then you're like, I might not be there right now. And it's like, oh, well, and for some people, it might be, oh, maybe you should watch what you're eating. You know, don't want to like get too fat right now. And you're like, look, Mom, I'm good. I'm doing fine. I'm working out. Just because I don't look how you think I should look doesn't mean I'm not healthy and I'm not taking care of myself. And there are many different things. And it's even for those who are taking care of us during that time, they may be having the anxiety of, oh, is the dinner going to be ready on time? Do we have enough beds for everyone who's coming into town? Is everything going to turn out just right? And then anxiety fills that time. And in the space where we're supposed to be celebrating life and enjoying the joy of just being with each other in time where we focus on God and the gift that he has given us with the birth of Christ, we kind of focus on the wrong things and we pick out things that make people not feel good. And we focus on things that bring us anxiety, and it just kind of distorts the time that we are in. And it's just more pronounced during this time where you think you're supposed to be feeling good, and then sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel worse than you normally do. But that's just a microscope, and like a magnifying glass, onto just normal life. Because just because you're not together all the time doesn't mean those same thoughts don't come up. And it's because of that that Jesus came. It's because of that that he says, we call him the Prince of Peace. It's in him when we focus on him. And we focus on what he came to give us, is that all those worries subside. Because we know that in him, we are enough. It's through our love of him and our striving to be in relationship with him that we are that God knows us and that we know God. And in knowing that, God says, I want you to stay with me, and you're always here, and anything that you're feeling, you should not worry about it, because I can take care of that for you. Just put that in me, and I will carry it. And even back in the day when Jesus was there with them, he was talking about his death, and he said, he even told the disciples and all the apostles, saying, soon you will grieve for me, because I'm going to leave you, and you will be shunned by the world. And he even tells him, like, but one day your grief will turn into joy. One day you will find peace. And he tells them all these bad things that will happen to them. And he tells them at the end of John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So as we take these elements of the bread that represents his body that he laid out for us, and the blood that he shed, it cleanses us of our sins. Let us remember that there will be troubles in this world, but in Christ, when we focus on him and the gift he's given us, that we can have a little bit more peace than we had before. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this family that we get to be a part of and spend time together. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the sacrifice you've given. and thank you for everything you've ever done for us. Please help us focus more on you and let the troubles and the comparing and the anxieties of this world fall from our shoulders. Let us put on your yoke and follow you more closely so that we can have the peace that we've always desired and that you have always wanted us to have. Thank you for this meal. Let us nourish our bodies and our souls and help us focus more on you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Who transformed back in time to a children's Bible study right there for a minute? Anybody? Anybody do this? Do the hand gestures? Who's doing it? Okay. All right. Good. All right. It's good stuff. Well, such an honor to be with you this morning. Take a look at these verses today on wise living and the blessings that come from the Proverbs here. As we look at the first nine or so chapters of the book of Proverbs, it's the first major section. We've got this first major section in the first nine chapters or so that instruct us really on the basic two choices that we have in life. Just like we just sung, we can choose to live wisely or we can choose to live foolish lives. And the first nine chapters pretty much give commentary to how that plays out for us. And so as we've come to the book of Proverbs and we started talking about this as the series opened last week, that is not it. Can you go to the slide with the first words on it, please? I'm going to assume that's my bad. There we go. Thank you. Proverbs exists to offer wisdom on how to live skillful lives within God's will. That's what we talked about last week. That's why we are offered Proverbs. That's why God inspired men to put together this book so that they exist here to offer us wisdom. And it's not just wisdom in order to know things. We learned last week that the fear of the Lord begins with this knowledge, but the knowledge that's talked about there is an equipping on how to live a skillful life. That's what's meant by that word. So therefore, these Proverbs are given to us so that we can live skillful lives within God's will. That's the purpose of the book. And the way we do this is not just by understanding what it says or understanding the knowledge of what Proverbs is trying to depart within us, but that we receive it, that we take hold of it, that we allow it to become a part of us and a part of how we walk in this world. And all of this is founded, and all of this starts with what the Bible describes as a fear of the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this process. And what we learned last week, and it's very imperative that we understand this as we move forward throughout this book of Proverbs, is that this fear of the Lord means that everything we do is founded on a relationship of who he is. Everything that we do, every way that we think, every perspective that we have, every decision we make is based upon this reverence of knowing who God is and who we are. And as we continue to know who he is more, really what takes place is we begin to know who we are. The more you know who God is, the more we understand who we are, made in his image and saved children of God, sons and daughters of God. And as we understand and have this reverence and this fear of the Lord, this respect for who he is, not only do we know who we are, but we begin to operate in obedience and faith because of that knowledge that we have, because of that beginning of the relationship that we have between God and ourselves. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to flesh out these two basic choices, really, that we have in life. We can choose, as Proverbs describes it, to be wise, to live wise lives wisely within how we operate in this world, or we can choose to live on this other side, which the book of Proverbs calls foolishness. Now, would you pray with me as we take the next few moments to talk about this? And Father God, we come to you once again, Lord, and we are so grateful
for your authoritative, inspired, infallible word. Lord, thank you for the words that you've given us to live by this morning. And Lord, I pray that they be just that, that we don't just take this as information or knowledge, but that we take a hold of this, that we take receive internally, lay hold of these ancient words that you've provided for us this day, that they would guide us to live lives that are in accordance with your will, so that we may live skillfully as you've designed it. Lord, we love you. We need you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is your take? How do you feel about off-brand consumer products? It's a question you probably get asked on a daily basis, right? How do you feel about off-brand consumer products? As a kid growing up, and especially probably in middle school or in high school, I always was very aware of what me and my family didn't have. You know, we never had the full Nike everything matching or the Reebok or what was hot in his back now, Champion. I'm probably off like crazy. Okay, I'm out here in dad sweaters. Okay, so don't take my fashion advice. All right, but I was always very aware that we were off brand. We were off brand growing up. We never really had the means to get the on brand products. We were never on brand. I want to take a look at a couple of these. Maybe these ring a bell. Can you go to that first picture for me? And we should be good. I want you to take a look at this. There we go. Whoop. There we go. Look at this. Look. You see this? What's that? Hocus Pocus. Now, you know, this ain't the real deal. This is not what it's supposed to look like. I don't know if you can see it. That's why it's $2.99. That's inflation proof. Off-brand cereal right there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, look, here's the thing. Then you go out to eat to KFG. You ever been there before? KFG. That's not the colonel. I don't know who that is. What's one level under a colonel, military friends? That's what that is. This is a private. Kentucky Fried Private Chicken. I don't know what this is. Now, look, I'm not going to talk too much mess on this because sometimes them bag cereals tastes just as good as the original. But the majority, the Hocus Pocus probably ain't doing it, okay? Look, here's the next one. It's not Olay. It's not Olay. It's okay. How's your shampoo choice going for you today? Yeah, you know, it's all right. Now, look, if I'd have bought this for Riley, we don't know what to watch first. This ain't Superman. It's Superman. We got Mickey and Minnie and the three little pigs back here. Nobody knows what's on this DVD. I'm gonna warn you right now. Don't put that in your DVD player. One last one for the fashionistas. It ain't Calvin. It's Cavern Colonel. Cavern Colonel. You heard of him before? I ain't seen that one yet. Okay, Calvin. Don't let me catch you rocking some Calvin Colonel on a Sunday morning. Okay. We're going to have a little talk. Now, it's funny to think about this thing, but I think when we approach Proverbs 3 and we approach the blessings that come from living out of the wise life, we find that comes by way of God's creation, by way of his intentions. In chapter 3, where we've read in verse 19, the writer says, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. In other words, all creation was made by God, established using the hands of wisdom. It's the instrument, it's the tool in which God used in this orderly design of all of his creation. It's almost like how he put this thing together and how this thing was established was by wisdom. It was his chosen instrument of divine design, was to create the confines of his creation. Everything in it, all the life within it, operates under this motor of wisdom within the world. It's the way in which all life and all creation came to be, by this hands of wisdom. And what happens is, if we're not operating within the way in which God ordered his creation, what Proverbs says is that we're living this other way. We're living this foolish way. We're not within the way in which God had structured and organized and ordered the way in which he put this thing together, which is by wisdom. If we want to get in line, we read the instruction manual on how to live a godly, skilled life within God's will. It says, in order to do that, you got to put on your wisdom suit, because that's how God put this thing together in the first place. So we got to put on our wisdom suit as we continue to march in this earth. If we want to have a life in which God is going to bless, we've got to live wisely. And when we're operating in a, and that's the on brand, right? That's the name brand way this world works. If you want blessing, if you want favor, if you want to walk securely, if you want peace, if you want to lay your head at night and not feel shame or guilt, then what we do is what's called wisdom. That's the way in which we operate. That's the name brand way to live this life as a Christian, is wisely. But then we have this other option. We got this hocus pocus, off-brand KFG style over here. And that's called foolishness. Okay? That's called foolishness. And whenever we're not operating within this operating system of wisdom in which God used to create and establish his creation, what we're doing is we're living in that way. And I want to offer to you that there's benefits. There's benefits that Proverbs maps out as we live wisely within this world, skilled lives, learning how to live within God's will. And I want to disclaimer this again, as I did last week. What I don't think Proverbs is a book of promises. I don't think that as we read these Proverbs, that means that is for me, that is for my life, 100%. You know, we talked about a couple examples that train up a child in the way they go, and when they get older, they'll never depart. Well, you can put all your absolute effort into raising your child in a godly Christian home, and at the end of the day, they're going to make up their own decisions. They have a will of their own. So it's not to be discouraged if our lives aren't going directly as the way the Proverbs lay out. They're guidance on how to live a skillful life on this side of heaven. Amen? And God says that in general, the general rule, the general principle, when you live a wise life on this side of heaven, is that there's going to be blessing and favor. In verse 13, he says this, chapter 3, verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom, who gain understanding. And this blessed that the people are who live wisely and find this wisdom, it doesn't mean you've got all these things coming your way. It means you've got happiness. It means you've got joy. You could quite literally translate this. These are the blessings of the man who chooses to live in wisdom, who finds wisdom, and who gains understanding. In verse 14, these blessings are more specifically beginning to come to the surface. It's describing the benefit of wisdom. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. You know, all those things are still precious today, silver and rubies and all these profitable metals, all these things that would provide riches. The writer here is saying that the product, the revenue from these sort of things that we think are so amazing and are so beneficial for our lives, that revenue doesn't even compare to the revenue living wisely in this world. The profit is far greater when you choose to live wisely than any of the profit you can amount in this worldly abundance. The proverb says it doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare. It goes on the second half of verse 15, nothing you desire can compare with her. There's absolutely nothing within this creation, whether it be money or riches or notoriety or success, however you tend to measure that, that can even come close to the profit and revenue and peace and blessings that come from living wisely as a wise child of God. There's not a thought that can come to mind that even makes it close. It says in verse 16, long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Long life is in her right hand. In the ancient world, the right hand is the place of honor. It's a place of utmost respect. Where is Jesus seated? At the right hand of God. And then in the left hand are these riches and honor. And it's not so much riches in the sense that we've got and attained all of these financial credentials or anything that like that. It means in general, things are going to go very well with you. And notice both the left and the right hand are completely full of wisdom's abundant blessings. When we live wisely, we've not only got this perspective on life that's going to bring peace and joy, we're going to have life. Things go in general more well with you when you live in the way in which God has ordered for you to live within the confines of his creation. It says in verse 18, this is just a beautiful, beautiful metaphor for what it's like when we live wise lives. It says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. She's a tree of life. You know, if you remember back all the way in Genesis, what's the situation? What's the setup? God makes Adam. He forms Adam. He breathes life into him. And he has all these trees. He says, you can eat from any of these. And he puts two right in the middle. He puts the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He puts the tree of life. And it's there where God lays out his first commandment. You know, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, surely death will come upon you. And this idea of the tree of life is immortality. It's closeness with God. It's God's peace. It's God's blessing. All of these things come to mind when you think of living a wise life, that we're living rooted right in the middle of how God's planted it, how he's planned it for our lives. And it's such a beautiful thing when we can approach life as a wise Christian, that it produces life, it produces oxygen, it produces longevity, just as the tree of life does. That's why it says those who hold her fast at the end of verse 18, those who hold fast to wisdom will be blessed, will be favored, will have things that otherwise going on in your life you wouldn't if you chose to live foolishly. That's why living wisely enables us to live an abundant life. I want to be very careful when I say an abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they will have life and have it more abundantly. This is one of the most egregiously misused verses in what's called Christian pulpits for years and years. You know, so-called preachers have used that to say, okay, you've got to pour into this thing and God's financially, and God's going to pour out to you financially. That's not at all what Jesus is trying to talk about. That's not at all what an abundant life is about. It's not about gaining stuff. An abundant life in the way Jesus is talking about is having a life that otherwise you wouldn't have the ability to attain. I have come that you have that kind of life and have it in a way in which you couldn't attain on your own. That's what he means. He means when you live wisely, when you live within the Lord, you are living a life that within your own power, especially within your own foolishness, doesn't even seem possible. I think that's why in Ephesians, Paul says there's this thing that we can do where we can live a life that we never imagined. That's what happens when we live within the wisdom of God, the way God has mapped it out and laid it out for us. He's come so that we can have that kind of life, that we can have a life that otherwise we can't attain with our own efforts. It's not even possible. At the same time, realistically speaking, we have this other option. We have what the Bible and Proverbs specifically refers to as a foolish living, a foolish man. It's sometimes described as simple or foolish, or even a more progressive form of a foolish is a scoffer. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week. A simple person is somebody who for the most part, is just ignorant. You're just unaware. You're easily led. You're easily gullible. A foolish person, and even more so a scoffer, is someone who is resistant to the way God chooses to live life. They're resistant to do things within the way God has ordered it, and therefore they're described as foolish. A scoffer would even take it a step further and say, not only am I rejecting of God and his ways, but I'm going to mock that. I'm going to scoff at that. And as you read through the Proverbs, you see the general rule, the general principle of how that life tends to play out. And it's not good. It's not good. Ultimately, Proverbs says that living that sort of life leads to death. A wise life leads to life. It's like a tree of life, the proverb says. But living within the way in which we make decisions and order our lives and perceive the world and do things and say things in a foolish manner leads only to death. And I want to be very clear when we talk about the foolish person. The foolish person is always described in Proverbs as a person's chosen outlook, not their mental equipment. What I mean by this is it's not the way God's wired you. If you make these decisions, anybody here ever make a foolish decision? Okay. All right. Amen. Okay. Were you capable of making the right decision? Okay, good. All right. So you guys are messed up. I'm messed up. Now we're playing fields even. Okay. But it's not because we're mentally equipped to not choose wisdom. It's because we've chosen to do the foolish thing. It's always the chosen outlook. It's always the chosen perspective. It's the foolish that in their closed-mindedness reject God. That's the heart of it. Even within those decisions that you and I have made where we've done the foolish thing, what we've really done is to reject the way God would have wanted us to live that out. At the heart of the matter, that's what it is. We're choosing in that moment to say, God, I don't want to do it your way. I'm going to reject what you're saying. I'm going to reject the wisdom that you've laid out for me in this particular matter. And I want to do it the way I want to do it. And when we live that way, when we sow like that, we know what's coming. We know and we expect what we can reap on the other side. Ultimately, at the heart of the foolish living is a man or woman who rejects God. And they choose to do so. It's a chosen perspective. It's a chosen mindset. It's a way in which they don't choose to live within God's will. They say, I'm going to be the star of my life. I'm going to be the star of my decisions. And in the recovery world, we have very apparent ways in which that sort of mindset plays out, don't we? There's very dire consequences for someone within alcohol or drug addiction when we choose to live a foolish way. Ultimately, you get to see that death played out in real life. In this natural life. But God says, there's another way. There's another way we can do this thing. There's tons of consequences of foolish living. I want to read a few. In Proverbs chapter 1, at the end of the chapter, starting in verse 24, it says this. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 24. Now keep in mind, these first nine chapters of Proverbs are as if a father is writing to his son, you know, imploring his son to choose wisdom. And in verse 24, it says, but since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, this is wisdom talk. Since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. There's that foundational aspect of our choice. It all starts with a relationship with the Lord, to fear him, to revere him, to understand who he is. Says in verse 30, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without the fear of harm. What's the benefit of living wisely? Peace. Peace. Talk to anybody, recovery or not, all of us that have chosen to do things the way God has asked us to do, that's made that step to surrender to him, to surrender all your anxieties, to surrender your situations, to surrender your diagnosis or whatever it is that's before you to him. faithfully, authentically, say, Lord, this is yours. I'm not in control of this anyway. What's the fruit of that? Peace. We get peace in this world, the peace that Jesus offers us. I think it all starts with this key phrase in chapter 3 that we all know very, very well. How do we do this? How do we get these benefits? How do we get the blessings of the man that lives wisely? It's all in this very basic, simple principle. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. In other words, the wise person has a fear of the Lord first and foremost, that foundational relationship, understanding who he is and who we are. And that fear, that reverence of who God is, produces an active trust in him. Trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your foolishness. Don't lean on thinking I got all this, thinking I don't need help, thinking I can figure this thing out on my own. That's foolishness. That's choosing to reject how God has set it up in his wisdom. He set it up for us to do otherwise, for us to have each other, the blessings of the church and the servants within the church and the spiritual gifts that we've been given. He says, this is how I've set this thing up in a wise way. Use it. Don't use your own understanding. Trust in me with all your heart. Because what happens? When you do that and you acknowledge me in all things, and we have that active trust in him through all things, he's going to make our path straight. I think that's, I've said since day one last week, I don't think there's any promises in general in Proverbs. But if I could pick one, I'd say this is it. When we trust in him with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding and we acknowledge him in every step of the way, he will make your path straight. It might not be an amazing looking path along the way, but you're going to know the way to go. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? We have this option in our life as we walk this out this week, as we walk this out this day, this morning, this afternoon. We have an option to choose wisely, to choose to live wise lives in him. Would you join with me in prayer as we ask the Lord to help us do that? Father God, we come to you once again, Lord, and we understand our desperate need of you. Lord, we understand our desperate love from you. Lord, that you have established this thing in a way in which it operates best under your wisdom. Lord, we know that all wisdom comes from you. Lord, I ask now for all my brothers and sisters and myself, my family, Lord, that you would give us that wisdom, that we could lay hold of it, that we could receive it, that we could operate our lives through it, so that we could have this blessing, that we could have a straight path guided by you, Lord. Because we know when we do that, Father, we will have your peace, regardless of what takes place around us, regardless of what place takes place to us. Lord, give us your peace now. Equip us now to live lives of Christian wisdom, following after the example of the perfect wise son, Jesus Christ, Lord. It's in his name we all said, amen.